Afternoon, it's 4:30 and 50 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Keneally Roberts.
It's mainly arts and crafts vendors. We have a couple folk artists there.
The annual Appalachian Holiday Arts and Crafts Fair will take place in Moorhead this weekend.
Businesses in Moorhead are preparing for hometown holidays this Saturday.
The boil water advisory that had been in place for all Rowan Water customers has been lifted.
Governor-elect Andy Beshear's administration is releasing more details about planned Inauguration Day activities.
Kentucky's Attorney General-elect has made appointments of two attorneys to lead criminal and civil divisions.
In sports, the Rowan County Vikings are on the road tonight to Campbell County.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
10% chance of showers tonight with a low around 37. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
Now in its 35th year, the annual Appalachian Holiday Arts and Crafts Fair will take place in Moorhead this Saturday. The event is a cooperative effort between Moorhead State University's Kentucky Folk Arts Center and Downtown Moorhead Incorporated. Tammy Stone is the administrative coordinator for the KFAC. She says the fair brings in big numbers from the tri-state area.
We are in the 35th year. It is an annual event. We have over 100 juried vendors, and we have usually around a couple thousand people that come through. We've got vendors from West Virginia, Ohio, and Kentucky.
The Appalachian Holiday Arts and Crafts Fair will run from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday. There is a $3 admission charge for adults. Children ages 12 and under get in free.
Businesses in Moorhead are continuing to prepare for hometown holidays this Saturday. This will be the 18th year for the annual tradition in the city that sees music and festivities in several Main Street establishments. Tony Pence is the director of Downtown Moorhead Incorporated. He says this year's event is shaping up to be the biggest he's seen.
This is the most places we've ever had to fill, which is a good thing. The most participants as far as entertainers and that sort of thing. We've got probably around 200 people, you know, be entertaining, playing music in different venues, count all the choirs and everything. And of course, the Symphony Orchestra is doing a free concert at 8 o'clock at the Conference Center.
Festivities begin at 5 o'clock on Saturday. They wrap up with the Cave Run Symphony Orchestra's performance at 8 p.m.
The boil water advisory that had been in place for all Rowan Water customers has been lifted. In a release, the utility says that samples have been tested and no contaminants have been found. The advisory had been in place since December 1st after heavy rainfall and flooding affected the region. Schools in both Bath and Rowan counties were closed on Monday due to the water emergency. The Moorhead Utility Plant Board had issued a similar advisory but lifted it on Wednesday.
Several people who receive water from Southern Water and Sewer District in Floyd County are currently without water. A Facebook post from Southern Water and Sewer District said a leak located in a nearby creek caused the outage. Special Projects Manager for Utilities Management Group, Grondel Potter, tells WYMT the material had exposed the line in sections, and as the water raises, the line blows out.
Now that material has exposed the line in sections, as the water gets up, the line blows out. The guys right now are digging. We're just trying to be safe and do it as efficiently as possible.
In the meantime, the Wayland Volunteer Fire Department is giving out clean water at the fire station. The water company is hoping the outage will be fixed by Wednesday night.
A Frankfort veteran will serve as an advocate for Eastern Kentucky in the Beshear administration. Longtime Representative Rocky Adkins is leaving his post as House Minority Floor Leader to serve as a senior advisor to the new governor. Adkins is joining the administration immediately rather than finishing out his term after getting a phone call from Beshear asking him to come on board right away.
He said, "Rocky, I need somebody that has experience, knowledge of this process, that has really the connections you have, somebody that can give advice and be engaged in different issues that come along, that have flexibility to move throughout the different cabinets, the different agencies, to work behind the scenes to help get things done."
Adkins says the role will help give Eastern Kentucky a, quote, seat at the table in policy decisions and other important government matters.
With Inauguration Day approaching, the incoming Andy Beshear administration is releasing more details about the planned festivities. The new governor will be sworn in at midnight on December 10th. The day-long public events kick off at 7:30 with an inaugural breakfast, followed by a worship service and inaugural parade. Beshear is putting a key group in his electoral coalition, educators, at the head of the march.
And for the first time, at least to my knowledge, an inaugural parade, the governor is not going to be the very first person in that parade. We're going to let our teachers make that march, lead this parade, lead us into this new administration all the way up the street and right to the Capitol. I couldn't be more excited.
Rounding out the evening will be two side-by-side inaugural balls, black tie optional, that will last until midnight.
All executive branch state agencies in Kentucky will accept emailed requests for public records to make it easier for people and the media to access information. That's according to Governor-elect Andy Beshear, who made the announcement on Wednesday. Earlier this year, state lawmakers passed a measure paving the way for agencies to voluntarily accept open records requests through email. Not all state agencies have adopted the policy, but Beshear's office said in a news release. As Attorney General, Beshear changed the open records request process in the AG's office to accept those emails. Beshear said the change to accept emailed requests among all agencies will be a priority once he takes office next Tuesday. Kentuckians can also make records requests in person, via mail, or by fax.
Kentucky Attorney General-elect Daniel Cameron has made appointments of two attorneys to lead his criminal and civil divisions. Cameron announced Wednesday that Amy Burke will serve as an assistant deputy attorney general overseeing the office's criminal justice matters. Burke is currently chief prosecutor for the Kenton County Attorney's Office. Cameron earlier this week appointed Victor Maddox as an assistant attorney general serving as civil chief within the AG's office. Maddox was a co-founder of the Louisville law firm Fultz, Maddox, and Dickens, where he represents clients in constitutional, administrative, business, and personal injury matters.
It's been just over a year since hemp became legal in the Commonwealth, and supporters continue to look forward. Yesterday, hemp license applicants, licensed growers, processors, and others who are interested met at the Kentucky Exposition Center in Louisville for a day of learning. Ryan Quarles is the Kentucky Agricultural Commissioner. He tells LEX18 hemp is the new tobacco in Kentucky.
Kentucky can be known for more than just bourbon, racehorses, and Kentucky fried chicken around the world. Kentucky now is known for being the comeback state for industrial hemp.
The topics during Hemp Day included production, the growing industry, Kentucky's plans for 2020, as well as the new application process. The summit lasted until 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon.
Kentucky's Department of Education Commissioner Dr. Wayne Lewis has received heavy criticism from Democratic Governor-elect Andy Beshear. During his campaign, Beshear repeatedly told voters he would restaff the Education Department's leadership, beginning with Lewis. Commissioner Lewis tells WKYT, while the future is uncertain, he feels secure in his career.
It's been a long time since I worried about having a job. I don't think that's about to change. Whether I'm the Commissioner of Education or not, I'm going to be perfectly fine.
Based on a clause in his contract, if he is removed by the governor-elect and the board, Lewis must receive a 90-day termination notice.
Kentucky's Christian University inaugurated a new president on Tuesday. The installation of Terry Alcorn marked only the sixth time KCU has chosen a president since it was founded. The Daily Independent reports Alcorn was hired upon the resignation of former president Jeffrey Metcalf in August. Alcorn says in his address he would strive to lead the university with integrity, follow values of stewardship, and keep it on a mission-driven path. He also called for integrity in himself, faculty, and students alike to commit and serve the university. Alcorn's inauguration comes as KCU celebrates its centennial. The official history of the institution says it was founded in December of 1919, originally named Christian Normal Institute, and was a teacher's college. It shifted its emphasis to ministry preparation in the 1920s and changed its name to Kentucky Christian College, then became a certified university in 2004. We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Police in Laurel County have arrested three people after a shooting early Tuesday morning. The sheriff's office responded to a call on Fisherman Cove Road, where they determined 29-year-old Michael Barrett shot 40-year-old Noah Saylor in the arm. WYMT reports both men were hospitalized for their injuries. 35-year-old Shauna Davis was also arrested. Davis and Barrett were both charged with trafficking in a controlled substance. Saylor was charged as well with contraband and possession of methamphetamine. All three are being held in the Laurel County Correctional Center.
Hardin County Police have arrested a man they believe is responsible for a shooting in a Walmart parking lot. 21-year-old Kendall Lincoln was arrested Tuesday during a traffic stop. LEX 18 reports police were called to the Ratcliffe Walmart parking lot on Monday night, where they found a victim deceased inside a car. Arrest documents say Lincoln stole from the victim after shooting them eight times with a .45 caliber handgun. Lincoln is being charged with murder, robbery in the first degree, theft by failure to make required disposition of property, $10,000 or more, and probation violation for a felony offense. Lincoln allegedly admitted to the crimes during a recorded interview with police.
A former high school teacher is in jail and being charged with sexual abuse of a minor. LEX 18 reports Brandon Talby was in Powell County Circuit Court on Wednesday afternoon. A grand jury recently returned an indictment that reads in March 2019, Talby subjected a child to sexual contact and intentionally abused the child. He pleaded not guilty to both felony charges. The arrest warrant reads that after Talby learned he was indicted, he sent a threatening message to a Stanton police officer who was listed as a witness in his case. Talby is due in court for the tampering charge on Friday. Next Wednesday, he returns to circuit court for a pretrial conference concerning the sexual abuse and criminal abuse felony charges.
A child was stabbed in Floyd County in a Thanksgiving dispute. Kentucky State Police arrested 38-year-old Catherine Stepp following an argument with her boyfriend. Assistant Floyd County Attorney Tyler Green tells WYMT what authorities know so far.
During the argument, at some point, a young child was stabbed in the leg. Catherine Stepp was arrested on Thanksgiving, and Adam Judy is still at large pending charges.
Stepp is charged with assault, wanton endangerment, resisting arrest, and public intoxication. She's scheduled for a preliminary hearing in Floyd County on Monday, December 9th.
Laurel County deputies are looking for a second suspect in the aftermath of a high-speed pursuit yesterday morning that led to a scuffle with police. Deputies tried to pull over an SUV for speeding when the driver fled, reaching speeds of 100 miles per hour before crashing in Jackson County. Deputy Gilbert Asiardo tells WYMT what deputies encountered after the crash.
The suspect got into a scuffle with him, actually had him on the ground, and it was a very vicious attack on our deputy. We were able to, with another deputy, to gain control of that suspect and get him into custody.
The deputy received no serious injuries from the incident. Police say they do not know why the driver refused to stop when they tried to pull him over. They have not yet released the name of the suspect. Now taking a look at your region's weather. Tonight, a 10% chance of showers after 5 a.m. with increasing clouds and a low around 37. Friday, 60% chance of showers mainly before 3 p.m., cloudy with a high near 47. Friday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 30. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 45. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low around 32. Sunday, 10% chance of showers after 5 p.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 54.
On our feature segment today, new research by the National Institute on Retirement Security finds that eliminating defined benefit pensions would make it more difficult to hire and retain teachers. Kentucky News Connection's Nadia Romlagon files this report.
Defined benefit pensions are a major factor for recruiting and retaining new teachers in the Commonwealth. And according to new research by the National Institute on Retirement Security, more than 96% of teachers say whittling away pensions would drastically affect the state's ability to attract new teachers to the profession. Laura Adams is a fourth-generation teacher in Henry County. She says finding new recruits for open teaching positions at her school has been a challenge.
It has just dried up. We just do not have people going into the profession because they perceive that it's under attack. They perceive that their retirement may not be there for them. And so they don't even want to start. And that is really unfortunate because I have a six-year-old daughter. I'm truly worried about who's going to teach her when she's in high school.
The study also found that 74% of teachers in the Commonwealth would be better off in retirement with a defined benefit pension compared with a 401k. Brent McKim is president of the Jefferson County Teachers Association. He says the 6,000 teachers he represents are worried about their future and that of their newly hired colleagues.
They know that that will make a difference in whether or not the newly hired teacher in their building is high quality or not.
Some studies have indicated that few teachers stay in the profession long enough to qualify for a defined benefit pension. But the National Institute on Retirement Security report found that in Kentucky, more than 60% of teachers work in the school system for 20 or more years, long enough to earn their retirement income. Adams says people outside of the profession may think that teachers are getting a handout in the form of a pension. She says that's a damaging misconception.
Of course, I know, and all the other teachers I work with know, that we put 13% of our paychecks into the system every month. So it really is something that we're vested in. And I think a lot of politicians have maximized that misconception.
She adds that shifting to a 401k plan would likely increase turnover among experienced teachers and put more pressure on already strained staff. For Kentucky News Connection, I'm Nadia Romlagon.
It's 48 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Keneally Roberts and Cody Robinson, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this sunny Thursday afternoon. Lori Likens has a look at sports right after this.
Support for MSPR is provided by Downtown Morehead Incorporated and the Kentucky Folk Arts Center, presenting the 35th Appalachian Holiday Arts and Crafts Fair, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, December 7th. A holiday tradition and open to the public inside the Laughlin Health Building on East Main Street in Morehead. More than 100 vendors from Kentucky, Ohio, and West Virginia. Handmade arts and crafts, antiques, seasonal ornaments, and decorations. More information on Facebook under Downtown Morehead.
The Vikings hit the road tonight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Lori Likens. The Rowan County boys basketball team will face the Campbell County Camels on the road Thursday night. It'll be their second game of the season, coming off of Tuesday's win against Montgomery County, 61-59. Rowan County boys head coach Sean Thacker says the team is bringing a lot to the table.
The things that you need to work on, you'll kind of know whether it's zone offense, whether it's press offense, you know, by whom you play will help guide your practice that day and preparing you for that next opponent. But it's really all about working on getting everything in for you.
Tip-off Thursday is set for 7:30 at Campbell County High School. Taking a look at other boys basketball action in the 16th region tonight, Ashland Blazer travels to Johnson County, East Carter heads to Elliott, Rowan travels to Campbell County, and Morgan hosts Bath County. In 16th Region girls action tonight, Fleming welcomes Harrison, Menifee hosts Estill, Ashland Blazer heads to Lewis County, and Russell hosts Johnson. All of tonight's games are set to tip off at 7:30 p.m. The Morehead State University women's basketball team ended up falling on the road this morning. MSU was in Dayton, where they fell to the Flyers 58-41. Eagle head coach Greg Todd says his team knew to be ready for a hard-fought game going in.
They come off the bench with a lot of size and shooting ability. We'll have to guard the three very well. I think we'll have to play our pace, and you know, you hope in a game like that you can keep it close and give yourself a chance to win at the end is definitely our goal.
The Morehead State women's basketball team now sits at 3-5 on the season. They'll be on the road again this weekend when they take on Michigan State Sunday. Tip-off for that game is set for 1 o'clock. Morehead State men's basketball got a tough 56-51 victory over IUPUI Wednesday at Johnson Arena. It was the MSU defense that led the way, holding the Jaguars to just one field goal in the final 13 minutes of the first half. It's a recipe that head coach Preston Spradlin says his team has to lean on when shots aren't falling.
Sometimes you got to win games like that, and for this group, that's really important because, you know, we played at North Alabama the other night, and we didn't shoot it well that night either, and we let our offense, or lack thereof, affect our defense, and so this group really very resilient, very mature, and what they did is they bounced back, and they just said, you know what, it doesn't matter if we're making shots tonight, we're taking the right ones, we're executing the game plan, we're going to win this game with defense, and that's exactly what we did.
The win snaps MSU's four-game losing streak. The Eagles will be back in action Saturday night when they head on the road to face Illinois State. Jani Broome signed his national letter of intent for Morehead State this week. The 6'10 Broome led Tampa Catholic to the 5A state semifinals as a junior. Broome played his first two high school seasons at Plant City High School in Florida, then transferred to Tampa Catholic, where he averaged 15.5 points and 10.5 rebounds per game as a junior. Morehead State head coach Preston Spradlin says the signee will be a great addition to his Eagles.
You know, Jani is a really talented player coming in. He's got great size at 6'10", really good skill set, is a two-way guy that can play on both sides of the ball. He's proven to be an elite rebounder and just excited about the potential that he's got and playing in a great program down in Tampa Catholic where they really develop their players the right way and they play a really tough schedule at the high school level. That's going to get him prepared to come in here and make an impact next year.
Broome is the second early signee for the Eagles and the second Florida native, joining 6'3 guard Drew Telwell from Orlando. Among the Morehead State University football team members getting all Pioneer Football League nods this year is sophomore return specialist Ian Holder. Holder, a Mount Airy, North Carolina native, was named for first-team All-PFL. Head coach Rob Tenier says Holder had quite the season.
Holder, you know, first-team's returner. And led the conference in kickoff returns. I think he was in the top 15 in the country. And he's pretty electrifying with the ball in his hands. He does our punt return and kick returns, so he had an outstanding year.
As a receiver, Holder ranked second on the team with 34 catches for 398 yards and 2 scores. And finally, in sports this afternoon, the New York Times reports the Kentucky Wildcats men's basketball team will play Michigan in London, England next season. It's part of a new deal between the two programs. Kentucky and Michigan will also play a home-and-home series against each other in the following two seasons. The London game is scheduled for December 2020 at the O2 Arena. Kentucky played a series of exhibition games in the Bahamas ahead of the 2014-15 season. The Wildcats have also played in Canada and Mexico. And that's going to do it for sports this afternoon. For WMKY, I'm Lori Likens.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's basketball host Marshall at 7 p.m. on Monday, December 16th, and women's basketball's next home game is Thursday, December 19th, hosting Asbury College. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks finished little changed as investors digested strong employment data while monitoring U.S.-China trade negotiations, and the Dow managed a small gain of 29.36 at 27,679.14. The S&P 500 was up 4.81 at 3117.57, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 4.03 at 8570.7. Nike led your gainers among Dow stocks, rising almost 2% after an analyst upgrade on the stock. Apple also rose more than 1%. Consumer staples was the worst-performing sector in the S&P 500, dipping 0.6%. U.S. weekly jobless claims were better than expected, actually dropping 203,000 last week, which was well below estimates of 215,000. This print was the lowest in 7 months. And, of course, this report comes a day before U.S. government's report for November non-farm payrolls. And, of course, this will be monitored very closely because of the ramifications for interest rate moves by the Fed. And, of course, yesterday the Dow gained nearly 150 points after it was reported that both China and the U.S. were inching closer to securing an agreement on the amount of tariffs that would be rolled back in a limited trade deal. There is little trade news today. A Chinese Commerce Ministry spokesman said that the two sides remain in close communications regarding trade, but this same official did not give any details on how the negotiations were proceeding. And he added that China, quote, believes if both sides reach a Phase 1 agreement, relevant tariffs must be lowered. And also in economic news, the U.S. trade deficit tumbled 7.6% to $47.2 billion in October, which is a one-and-a-half-year low. In the commodities markets, oil was very quiet today, finishing on or flat on the day at $58.43 a barrel. Gold was up $1.20 an ounce, finishing at $1,481.40 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were pretty quiet, with the Stock 600 index down only 0.8%. Most Asian markets were strong, with the Nikkei up 0.7% and the Shanghai Composite up 0.75%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Community Trust Bank down 4 cents at $44.63, Kroger down 83 cents at $26.81, CSX up 20 cents at $70.65, Marathon Petroleum down 18 cents at $59.85, and PPL Energy was down 24 cents to finish at $34.32. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the National Offices of Robert W. Baird.
Support for MSPR comes from Downtown Moorhead Incorporated, presenting Hometown Holidays in Downtown Moorhead from 5 to 8 p.m. on Saturday, December 7th, an annual holiday tradition for the entire family. Local Main Street merchants will be open with refreshments and holiday treats, live music, caroling, and entertainment. Pictures with Santa Claus, wagon rides, and a performance by the Cave Run Symphony Orchestra at 8 p.m. at the Moorhead Conference Center. More information on Facebook under Downtown Moorhead Incorporated.
Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast for tonight, a 10% chance of showers after 5 a.m., increasing clouds overnight, a low around 37. On Friday, a 60% chance of showers, mainly before 3 p.m., cloudy with a high near 47. Friday night, mostly cloudy skies, a low around 30 degrees. On Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 45. Saturday night, partly cloudy, a low around 32. And for your Sunday, a 10% chance of showers after 5 p.m., otherwise mostly cloudy skies with a high near 54 degrees. Taking a look at some events coming up around the region, the Gateway Regional Arts Center in Mount Sterling will host the Polar Express from noon to 4 p.m. on Saturday, December 7th. Activities for children, model trains, create with Legos, treats and refreshments, and gingerbread house competition. Tickets are $5 per person or $20 for families of four or more. The Rowan County Public Library will host a holiday open house from 6 to 7:30 p.m. on Monday, December 9th. Free and open to the community, there will be live music, refreshments, crafts for children, stories, door prizes, and photos with Santa Claus. Big Sandy Community and Technical College will host their fourth annual Christmas celebration at the Mountain Arts Center in Prestonsburg from 6 to 8 p.m. on Monday, December 9th. Activities for children and photos with Santa. The event is free and open to the public. The Rowan County Senior High School Thespians will present a Christmas carol at the Rowan County Senior High School Performing Arts Center. Performances are December 11th, 12th, 13th, and 14th at 7 p.m. and at 2 p.m. on Sunday, December 15th. Tickets are $7 for adults and $5 for students. And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Nacogdoches Miller, Shamari Mosley, Wyatt Melton, Lori Likens, Cody Robinson, and Sarah Mead. WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from Kentucky News Connection's Nadia Romlagon. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY, Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Keneally Roberts and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.